with us. Now, Lord, may we identify with you as we think back to that time and as we drink in the glory of the Christmas story. Help us this day, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Joseph was a carpenter, Mary, a sweet young lady. The angel Gabriel had been dispatched to Mary's home to announce that suddenly she would be pregnant with the Son of God. Oy vey, sweet little Mary, saddled with such a momentous role. Were there no virgins in Bethlehem already that could be called upon? Why go to Nazareth to set up something to happen in Bethlehem? Joseph doesn't believe her explanation until Gabriel pays him a visit as well and says, no, this is of God. Marry the sweet young lady and take care of God's son. After the shock subsides, they did what every other young couple does after they're planning on marriage. They got set up. They found a place to live. Joseph secured his job. Things were going pretty well as expected. But then one day, he got a real shock as he went into town. There was a real stir as people were talking and chattering. He said, what's going on? They said, well, haven't you heard? There's been a decree by the emperor, another decree. What's this one about? All of us have to go back to our ancestral home to be registered and to be taxed. What? Why in the world would the emperor care about where we pay our taxes at? You know the government. Yeah, I know the government. This isn't the first odd thing that they've decreed. But this one was going to set everybody traveling. What tribe are you from? Oh, you have to be back at this place at a certain time. What about you? Where are you? Well, we're from over here. I have no idea how they sorted it all out. It's been thousands of years. Tribes had intermarried with one another. And yet there was this decree that went out. And they had to do this traveling. Not only that, but it had been 1,000 years between the time David lived in Bethlehem and Joseph and Mary traveled there to get registered. 1,000 years. I mean, a lot happens in 1,000 years. In fact, in between that time, there had been an exile. All the people had to move out of Israel. There was no nation of Israel for a while. And then God made it so that they could come home again. Who kept track of all these genealogies? Do you know who your ancestors were 1,000 years ago? Where they lived, where they came from? Anybody, Ancestry.com, go back that far? 1,022. And yet they had to go register and be taxed according to their ancestor from 1,000 years ago. How did Caesar know that the Jews kept track of such things? Why did he even care? Was there a different tax structure according to what tribe you came from? Nazareth is about 70 miles from Bethlehem as a crow flies. But of course, they couldn't fly like a crow, so they had to take the road, which took a little better than 90 miles worth of traveling. With not much allowance for luggage, how do you pack for such a trip? Well, I would think that food would be of paramount importance. Then they'd need some extra clothes for when it got cold. Maybe a simple tent for when they were in between stops as they logged into the GPS on their donkey and they found out where the towns were located and what was available in each one. They had to plan for the in-between time. Surely, it was quite an adventure. If they traveled for 8 hours a day, it would take them approximately 4 days to get there. But given her condition, her delicate condition, I suppose it was closer to a week. I had to wonder while I was thinking about all this, how would Barb and I fare if this was our job description? Fully pregnant, a donkey, 90 miles on a dirt road. Did I mention on a donkey? Pregnant, on a donkey, 90 miles to go. How about you and your spouse? Would you still be married or at least engaged to be married by the time you got to Bethlehem? How would that have worked out with your intended? My niece sent me this little cartoon just this week. I thought it was apt for the sermon this morning. I don't know if you can read it from there or not, but Joseph is saying, they've just arrived at the stable, and Joseph is saying, "Don't be mad. I said I was sorry. I should have made reservations. Talk to me, Mary. Mary? Mary? I'm fine." The caption reads, "How silent night began." Can you relate to that? If it was us, there might have been a few discussions along the way about how this trip is going. God had a great plan. It's a wonderful story. But sometimes when you're walking through the plan of God, it isn't as glorious as the legend will have it sound. But I'm sure that they did just fine. What are the chances that Rome would issue a decree putting a Jewish couple in the crosshairs of prophecy on purpose? When Mary and Joseph started out, they didn't know they were fulfilling prophecy. They thought they were just obeying the Caesar that was in charge, or they would get into some kind of trouble. They were just going along to get along. But God was sovereign, and he was positioning them just so. So I calculated what the chances might be that Caesar would do this thing. And I came up with a big fat zero. It's not like this was the high priest saying, "You guys need to get to Bethlehem before this baby's born in order to fulfill prophecy." It's not like a prophet came by and said, "You know, the Spirit of the Lord is telling me you really need to be in Bethlehem for this thing to go down." They felt like they were being pushed this way and shoved that way. Victims of circumstance, if you will. But even when we're a bit confused and a bit misgiven, God knows what he's doing. The Bible says, "Rejoice for the steps of a righteous man. They are ordered of God." No, God wouldn't do it this way. No, if God was in charge, I'm sure he would provide for this and he would do that a little bit better, right? Well, don't presume to know the mind of God. And don't miss the 4 to 6 days on the road. Those 90 miles, that stretch between Nazareth and Bethlehem. Walking, camping, stopping in towns along the way. Told every story that they could think of from their childhood on up. Communing with people that they came across in the way. If there was a competition for lodging, I'm sure that food was at a premium as well. The price went up the further they went, the shorter the supply became. "I thought we brought enough money." "Don't worry, Joseph, there'll be enough. God will see to it that everything is provided for." Would they ever see Nazareth again? Could they find a place to live? What would life be like after this child has been born? Talk about a great adventure into the vast unknown. But think about how fearfully and wonderfully we have been made. How many times in your life have you not felt up to the task? I don't know if you were ready to go to school when they put you on the big bus. I was one that went literally kicking and screaming the whole way. I knew what I had at home and I wanted to stay there. Maybe I should have stayed there, I don't know. But changes in our life, and I can't do this. I'm not up to it. You go off to college or to trade school, your first day on the job, they give you a description of what you're going to be doing. You say, "I can't." Maybe you even tried the first couple of times and weren't able to, but in time. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are able to endure conditions that are far beyond what we think we can. God has provided us with everything we need to succeed in the call that he has given to us. What, 90 miles pregnant on a donkey? Are you kidding me? We can't do that. Well, you'd be surprised at what you can do. And this is your word for today. I don't know what you might have consternation over right now concerning this next week. Maybe your house is going to be full of family. Maybe you're worried about weird Uncle Sal coming and what he might say or do. You are up to the task because God has prepared you for this. You can do this. Please walk through it, not with the gloom and the doom of, oh, this is terrible, this is miserable, I can't handle this. Stop it. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Do you think that the Lord wants you to decry this coming holiday, or he wants you to enjoy it? He's given you family to enjoy them, as troubling as they might be at different points of interest. He is on your side. You can do this. Trust the Lord for a miracle this holiday season, whoever happens to be in your home or whoever you happen to visit. God is going to see you through all this. Even today, as we're in this nice, cozy sanctuary, there are people around the world who are in refugee camps. I've seen pictures of people, I've seen film of people who in the wintertime live in a tent, a canvas tent, and I don't know how they survive. I don't know about you, but I hate to be cold. I'd rather be hot than cold if given a choice. I'd rather burn to death than freeze to death, but yay, all winter long without reprieve. You and I, we may have to chill for a little while, but there's always a relief by the end of the day. Even those of us who have been out hunting all day, you think about being back by the campfire at night. But some of these men, women, and children, the elderly as well as the young, have to survive on the kindness of strangers. And often when they're in a refugee camp, the strangers aren't very kind. And here we are. We really have everything we ever could have dreamed of having. A beautiful home, a nice soft bed, warm places to go, clothing galore. The pantry and the refrigerator are all filled with food. And what do we complain about? Oh, it takes so long for the car to get warm. Ooh, it's freezing out here. Oh, that dash between the front door and the car door. Oh, my, it's so how much misery we have to endure. We're having leftovers again. Oh, my. How hard life is for those of us who grew up in paradise. We're so blessed and don't even know it. There are people who today don't even have access to clean drinking water. Not to mention enough to bathe in and take care of other necessities. Just enough to drink. In 2020, that's the last year we have statistics on this that are available, over 5.5 million people were incarcerated in the United States. Over 5.5 million people in jail today in the United States of America. Here we are, free and comfortable and warm, and we're thinking about lunch already and the meal we're going to have for Christmas and how good it is. I can't wrap my mind over 5.5 million. 3,000 people were killed on 9/11. And it was a national tragedy that we still remember to this day. 5.5 million people behind bars while we're here comfortable and warm. 90 walking miles later, 4 to 6 days on the road, the young couple arrive in Bethlehem. There's nowhere to stay, no chance for a hot bath or a soft bed. How easy it would have been for me in their shoes to start complaining, to start questioning, is God really in this thing? Did I really see an angel? Is all this actually happening? I mean, if God is able to create the universe at the sound of his voice, surely he could have provided a little better accommodations here. You and I become so spoiled, we expect first class all the way. That everything's going to be good, and then it's only going to get better. If we're inconvenienced in the slightest, we begin to complain. I wish that grumbling was a spiritual gift rather than a sin, because I'm very good at grumbling. I wish I get a jewel in my crown for best grumbler on earth. But that's not how it works. God said, I'll call you and I'll provide everything you need. What I ask out of you is to have a thankful spirit and appreciate the provisions along the way. Oy, Lord, thank God he's a merciful God. But they went down the list. Angels, check. Shepherds, Check. Magi from far away. Yep, they're on their way. Would it be too much to ask for a room with a view? How about a room without a view? Just a room! Somewhere where we could be, have a little privacy and take care of this very important business. Yeah, somehow we've thought that we deserve, we should have. It's only right. But is it? Ask Noah, Daniel, David, or Hosea just how costly it can be to follow the will of God in your life. How difficult, how hard it can be. Yet they arrived safely, and somehow everything they needed was provided along the way. There was always enough. Enough money, enough food, enough strength, enough patience, enough light, enough love, enough revelation, enough direction, enough willpower. Oh, we didn't think we were going to make it. But as it turns out, we had more than enough. Heavenly escorts they couldn't see, a future they wouldn't want to miss. Spiritual battles raged all around them, and they had no clue. The book of Revelation tells us about a time when a baby boy would be born, and a dragon stood ready to devour the child. Now that has several fulfillments. It will be fulfilled in the future as we walk through the last day scenario, the Antichrist rising and all that. But it was true on that night too. Don't you know the devil did not want this child to be born? The enemy did not want this child to survive. In fact, there would be a desperate attempt after he was born, a killing of all the children born within a 2-year period in that area just to try and to extinguish his life. And the battle raged between dark and light, between good and evil, between the demons and the angels. They saw none of it. They felt none of it. But oh, how blessed. I guess somebody's ready to go home and have lunch. Always enough. The stars were brightly shining, but all the doors were locked. I wonder if Mary didn't wish that her mom was there with her. I'll bet that Joseph was hoping for a midwife to come walking through the door at any moment. He was shivering, she was sweating. Jesus was coming, ready or not. What a way for the light of the world to come. Two people in a sea of strangers. Two people following after the leading of the Lord. Feeling alone, abandoned, yet nothing could be further from the truth. Was there no joy? No humorous moments? No acts of kindness that cushioned their landing? Of course there were. That's the way life works. That's the way God works. Enough for Mary to have a heart full of treasured memories. Enough for you and I to be cherishing that moment thousands of years later. But let that be your word for today. Enough. Don't worry, don't fret, don't get scared. You'll have everything you need as you take the next step and the step after that. Rejoice for the steps of a righteous man. They are ordered of God. You will have enough today, through this week, through this holiday season. God will be glorified in your life. Will you stand with me this morning? Joy to the world, the Lord has come.
Prepare him room.
Father, thanks that you went through a lot more than we go through in order to bring us a salvation we could never earn. Thanks for the love and the patience of God. Thanks for the example that you set before us. We don't have to feel like we've been abandoned just because life gets hard or rough. This is life. And through each trial and each journey that we take, we get a little bit closer and a little bit closer to you. One glad morning, we'll wake up in heaven. It will have been worth it all just to see Jesus. And it could not have been at all were it not for the journey you chose to take on our behalf. Thank you, Lord. Merry Christmas. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, Amen. Amen. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.